Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Shelter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to The Butterfly Moment, my favorite time of the week, because I have, in my opinion, the best job for me in the world. My name is John Shelter.
And I'm Carrie Hall.
Carrie, you're looking particularly beautiful today.
Oh my gosh.
You always do. So it's a wonderful summer day here in Michigan, and we're looking out at the clear sky that we've been waiting for all winter. And summer is here, more than summer. We've got a great 4th of July weekend that's coming up. By the way, our show talks about extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. And we will fulfill that task today. We've got a wonderful, wonderful guest. But first, I want to tell you, like I do every week, about the butterfly moment. And we'll be asking our guest about the butterfly moment that he's had in his life. And it's a time that the caterpillar leaving the cocoon realizes that it's much more than it thought. And more than that, it's one of the most beautiful creatures on earth. And it can fly. And so I ask you, would you like a butterfly moment? What would you do if you could not fail? Would you like to live a life with more passion, power, and purpose? Would you like to be on our show in a couple months or sometime next year? Well, Carrie and I are life coaches, and we would love to give you a free session that's 55 minutes focused totally on you, where we could talk about your hopes and dreams, what may be standing in your way, what type of strategies we can use to get you there. I was listening to Wayne Dyer, and we're going to be having a show probably next week devoted to him. Carrie and I have met him when he used to go to the Church Today in Warren 15 years ago. But he's just a fabulous guy and a real groundbreaker. And he talks about tools as kind of being like your golf bag. The tools you can give in personal coaching or executive coaching are enabling you to navigate the course of life when you get in special jams. We don't give advice, but we give you the tools that we think can help you make the right decision for yourself. So if you like to talk about these strategies, give us a call. Our website is butterflylifecoach.com, or our phone number, direct dial 586-997-HELP, 4357, 586-997-4357. And we can talk about some strategies to help you achieve your goals, and you can become one of the, if you're not already, a mover and shaker. That is, achieving the goals that are important to you in your life. Well, talking about a special person, today we're going to be interviewing Mr. Russ Bollinger. Carrie, could you tell us some things about Russ?
Sure. I'd love to talk about Russ. You know, a lot of times we say, hey, we're talking to one of our favorite people, but I really have to say, in Russ's case, he's probably my number one favorite person. So, Russ, you were born in Wichita, Kansas on September 10th.
Carrie, yeah.
And, you know, I got to say a few things about what an amazing career you have
had. Hold on. Listen.
Okay. You were an offensive lineman at Long Beach State, and you were in the 1976 draft. And then you went on to play with the Lions from 1976 to 1982. And I know my brothers were huge fans at that time of yours. And then you went to the LA Rams from 83 to 85. You played 9 seasons in the NFL. And you're currently a player personnel scout with the Atlanta Falcons. But you've also done stints with the Jacksonville Jags, the Lions, the Washington Redskins, and, of course, the LA Rams again. And you have a beautiful family and a gorgeous wife named Paula and four great kids. And your youngest is Tony. He's a freshman, and he's going to be running cross country. He's going to be on the cross country team.
Yep.
He's also an opera singer, right? Yes, I just love
it. Yes, he is.
And he only performs at weddings.
Yeah, that's great.
That's right.
Yeah, preferably relatives.
You know, besides being such an amazing athlete, Russ is an amazing person, but he is also an amazing writer, actor, director. He co-wrote and co-starred in a locker room drama called Game Face at the Flight Theater. How long did Game Face run at the Flight Theater on Santa Monica Boulevard, guys?
16 weeks.
13 weeks. Okay.
13 weeks. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Russ, do you remember how much tickets were? They were $6. $6. Hey, I just want to, I know I'm digressing, but I just want to say that I kind of looked up some reviews from when you and John were in Game Face. And once again, it's a locker room dramedy. We like to say drama and comedy. Russ and John co-wrote and co-starred in it. And it was reviewed by the LA Times by a really formidable critic named Ray Lloyd. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. Anyway, he said, quote unquote, that the character of was played by Russ Bollinger with incredible edge. And he also said it was a quote unquote jaundiced and knowing look inside the sport. And he said, Bollinger and Schalter's work has raw potential. So there you go, guys.
Mm.
That's awesome, Carrie.
No, you're awesome, Russ.
That was such a fun time. That was absolutely.
Really was.
Yeah. Mm. We were so young and full of energy and just met so many cool people.
Oh, my gosh, didn't we? We met a lot of characters in L.A., a lot of great actors, too.
Yeah.
Really good actors.
Yes. Yeah, we had fun. I think that was the
everyone
the
had their
result.
Interesting set of proclivities, if that's a correct word, you idiosyncrasies.
Know, Russ, if we could just step back, because I have never mentioned you and your stay at the Detroit Lions as a offensive lineman and not have people remember you. I mean, you really, really left your mark there. Coming from a small school, you had kind of an underdog role there. But since this, before we get into some of the other stuff, because there's a lot, since this is the Butterfly Moment show, when did it happen to you in the NFL that you said to yourself, I can do this. I can not only do this, I can start.
You know what? I was just looking back on that. I always have time this time of year to reflect, and just thinking about 1976, you know, and I'd been drafted by the Lions, and I had an older veteran player living out there in Southern California that invited me to work out with him before we went to training camp.
Mm. How cool.
So we had like 6 weeks, you know, and I thought, this would be great. You know, I'll be lifting weights with this guy. I'll be running with this guy, doing all the conditioning things you have to do to get in shape. And he's in the league. Well, the first thing he says to me, bring your pads. I said, wait a minute. We're just going to lift weights and we're just going to lift weights and run, aren't we? He goes, no. I'm going to get you ready for training camp. We're going to get ourselves ready. We're going to be in better shape than anybody. Well, no one, you know, a friend of mine that introduced me, he didn't tell me he was a nut. And he had played 5 years for the Jets.
Oh, my goodness.
And so there I go. I bring my pads, and we just went at it. We were doing drills on our own, blocking. He was pass rushing. He was a defensive lineman. He told me, Russ, if you can pass pro, pass protect in the NFL, you can play in the league. He goes, let me ask you a question first. Do you really want to make the team? I said, absolutely. It's been my dream since I was 10 years old. He said, well, if you'll listen to me, I'll guarantee you'll make the team. I said, I'm listening. And he said, if you go in and you're the most aggressive you've ever been and keep your mouth shut, you'll make the team. I said, wait a minute. What do you mean keep my mouth shut? He goes, I mean talk to no one. Unless they talk to you, a coach asks you a question, answer it. If the veteran player asks you a question, answer it. But do not start dialogue. Do not talk to anyone. And then every drill you're in, he goes, here's the catchy part. Every drill you're in, you got to go full speed, even if the coach says it's half speed. Well, John, you played football, and you don't do that to other players, especially a veteran player.
Yeah.
Well, he said, if you listen to me, you'll make the team. So I went in, and you guys know how, you've known me forever. You know how hard it is for me not to talk. That was the hardest thing I ever did. I literally was a mute for 6 weeks because training camp was forever. And I had no friends. On the veteran players hated me. The coaches, of course, love it. And the rookie players couldn't figure out why I wouldn't talk to them.
Mm.
That's
well, at
great.
The end of the time, and that was the hardest thing I've ever done, he was dead right, and he said, you'll have more friends on the team, you know, if you go in and just really be aggressive and keep your mouth shut, you'll make the team.
Wow.
Not only did I make the team, I was, you know, by the third or fourth week, I was starting on the offensive line, and I thought about that, because it's probably the only time I've ever listened to somebody like that.
So you know, it ended up being good advice, eh, Russ?
It was great advice. I think he was tipped off, knew I was kind of a loudmouth. Mm. So that was the smartest thing he could have said to me. And then say, hey, just make sure you're always aggressive. Even when they say it's half speed, he goes, because that's how the players will respect you.
Mm.
And fortunately, I listened to that. And I had good luck. I didn't get hurt, you know. And we were building a team. It was an all-veteran team. There was guys on the team that looked older than my dad.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and it just kind of freaked me out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was able to pull that off. And looking back on it, it was the best piece of advice I ever got. I mean, and I remember they came out with an article in the middle of the year saying how aggressive I was. I didn't really know I was being aggressive. I was just following directions. And I think that was like the one time in my life where I fully listened and did everything this guy said, and he got me in great shape. Of course, we've been using pads 6 weeks prior to going to camp, so I was ready to go.
Ah.
I was used to the pads.
You were conditioned, in shape, and fired up.
Yeah, and everything went well, and everything went, you know, and I really appreciated that information. And I'll tell you what, though, there was moments where I was practicing with him where I wanted to quit. I go, this is stupid. Mm. This is not what I really want to be doing. Mm. We should be relaxing or taking a little more easy. And none of my friends were in pads. None of my friends that were working out, you know, around my old high school buddies, they got opportunities. College buddies, they got opportunities. They were all just running and lifting. So I think I look back on that and I listened, you know, and for young people, you know, when somebody and a veteran, you know, an experienced person gives you some advice, pay attention.
You know, what's great about that, Russ, is that he life coached you.
He sure did.
He gave you some tools. He didn't say, okay, when this happened, whatever. He said, okay, this is a platform of power. Because I've heard that before, that it's often a good idea not to tell people, unless they're in a mastermind situation, your goals. Because if you talk to them about it, you're dissipating this energy. And you need, especially like something like pro football, and like you were saying, you like to talk. You must have been internalizing so much focus. That was incredible.
Yeah. And that was the exact, you know, what I needed to channel, that focus. And he kept it so simple for me. Be quiet. Don't talk to anybody and be aggressive, even when they say go half speed or, you know, this is not full speed. You know, and I remember the veteran players, they wanted to fight. And he said, if they want to fight and you feel like fighting, fight them. But if you don't feel like fighting, that's okay, too. Just go back to the huddle.
You know,
go ahead. They'll remember you more by let your pads speak, you know, let your equipment speak instead of you being a big mouth.
You know.
And that was awesome.
I was wondering if we could go from that point to when you retired. And you went from, you know, that kind of platform to a platform, it seems like, surrender with the Epstein Barr. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, at the end of my career, you know, I'd always had to keep my weight up and everything. And I knew as soon as I retired, I wanted to lose weight and just get back down to my normal weight. And I'm a very you know, when I get ready to do something, I kind of overdo it. Mm. I lost weight a little too fast, and I got a virus called the Epstein-Barr virus, much like mononucleosis. Mm. And I had no energy. Now, I was also in a period where, you know, I was changing careers. I was getting out of football, and there's a period there where, you know, you get into a funk, you come out of the football world, and you come back into reality. And I remember my wife saying, hey, you're going to have to start standing in line at the bank. You're going to have to stand in line at the doctor. You're no longer going to be treated special. And I thought, no, I got this. And she was dead right. I had no patience for that. And I realized now I was an ex-player. Things didn't get as done fast for me. And now I was also on top of that. I had no energy. No, I was sick. And the doctor said, well, you know, you could be depressed because you're in a career change. You're no longer playing football. You know, you could be. I said, no, this, I just can't get out of bed. Mm-hmm. I want to get out of bed, but I couldn't. And at that time, I had some habits that I'd learned in the National Football League that were not healthy for me.
Yeah.
And the doctor did say, hey, you need to quit drinking. You know, you need to do this, and this, and you need to quit drinking. And I said, I can't do that, man. That's, you're crazy, you know. And he said, well, and I had two little kids at the time. And he said, well, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, where are you usually, you know, what are you, after, you know, you're working out or you're doing your thing, what do you do? I said, well, I'll go have a couple beers with the boys. He goes, so you're having beers with these guys and you're not spending time with your kids? Is that it? You know, and that kind of caught me off guard. Mm. And he was dead right. So I quit drinking and got well. And was able to think clear, and then met you and Carrie, John and Carrie.
That's right.
You know,
yeah, it was our lucky day. We were John and I were in a bookstore in on Hollywood Boulevard in California, and John recognized Russ right away. Right, John?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's interesting what occurred there, because we talked about the play a little bit. What ties that into the Epstein-Barr and the change in lifestyle is that play, the writing of it, in the authentic acting of it, was your therapy. It was part of your path to wellness, wasn't it?
Well, in meeting you guys, you know, and turning me on to the books that you were reading at the time, you guys were starting a new career. We were in an acting class together, you know, and
John and Russ were working out together for the play.
Yeah. That's right. We were.
And we had a lot of fun. Remember? And it was just our good fortune to meet you and Paula. We all became very involved in the Course in Miracles and a lot of other spiritual books that you and Paula had been reading that you turned us onto. And we told you some of the things that we had been learning, and it was just a really great time. So nice to meet you guys. You know, Russ, I don't want to sound weird, but I've said this before. When I saw you at the bookstore, I looked at you and I thought I knew you. I thought, not from sports. I felt like, I said, that guy looks like he's my brother.
Mm.
Like,
wow. Yeah.
I
know I've told you that before,
way,
and
yeah.
I always thought that, and it turned out to be true.
Yeah.
On a spiritual
level. We spent a lot of quality time together, you know, writing the play, and we were all so involved, and spent so much energy doing it. We were together all the time, and just, you know, when you're young like that, you know, we're talking 30-some years ago here, you know, you think to yourself, wow, you know, what's it going to be like to reflect back on that? And you're so right, Carrie. You know, when I met you guys, it just felt so natural. And the timing for me was incredible, because I needed somebody to kind of help me through this career change. And that was you guys. And you guys were basically life coaches, both of you.
Oh, Russ.
At the time, not with, you know, there was no concept like that at the time.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. We were just really good friends supporting each other, I think.
Exactly.
And now you've taken that story and the personal story of yours growing up with a lot of tough brothers, and you've got a novel that's on the auctioning block, I understand. And I read it, and I just loved it. You know, you have a wonderful creativity, sense of humor that, you know, is so authentic. Tell us a little bit about that, Russ.
Well, you know, through you, John and Carrie, through you folks, you know, you helped me you know, put the word to paper. And then as my career, you know, the wear and tear on the body, my hobbies weren't going out playing golf. Yeah. My hobbies were limited because of the injuries that I had. And writing was a natural for me because I could sit and just make myself laugh and throw stuff on the page. And you guys were very, John, you know, with your background, you said, Russ, whatever you do when you write, you know, just put it down on the paper and don't question it. You're going to rewrite it later. And so with that said, I was able to write, you know, a
authentically.
Book.
Russ, if I say anything about your writing, you have such an authentic, original voice.
That's right.
Well, you know, it's funny. I had very interesting, you know, I had two older brothers, a younger brother. There was four boys, and I had a very strong mother, a German woman,
yep.
who was really tough on us. And
Virginia.
My dad was a Kansas farmer.
Yeah.
So he taught us work ethic.
Lyle was a great counterpart.
Yep.
To
and
Virginia.
My mom taught us how to be aggressive and how to go for your dream. And she was pretty much the life of the party and a character. So when I started writing, I just basically told my life story, how I got to A to Z, you know, and where I was at the time. And I thought my family was unique because, you know, after getting to know a lot of guys I played with, you know, I was like, wow, you never experienced this or that. And I was fortunate to have an older brother that was very competitive and ended up playing pro baseball. I had another one that was unfortunately got in a lot of trouble. So he showed me, you know, what not to do. And then I had a really cool younger brother that, you know, I probably abused because I was being physically abused by the other guys, and that's kind of helped us in football.
Right.
As you know, I mean, I really believe when God created football, it was for kids that were, you know, just aggressive kids and needed it.
Mm.
And to this day, it's still the same, I think. But we all kind of found our niche. And unfortunately, my mom passed away at a very early age, and, you know, it kind of switched the roles in our family. And at that time I was lucky enough to meet my wife Paula, who would probably, you know, kind of a butterfly moment for me because
right.
it was like Rocky, you know, meeting a manager. You know, she was able to talk to me and keep me from doing things I probably shouldn't be doing. And next thing you know, we were married and had four beautiful kids. We've got two grandkids, another one on the way. And
isn't that great, Russ? And you guys are celebrated what, 36 years in March?
37.
Oh, 37. That's awesome. And now you, Kaylin and Doug are having a baby, and Layla and Joey have two beautiful girls, Mari and Maya. And then we've got a new addition to the family. Mike and Jackie just got married.
Yep.
Tony doesn't want to have anything to do with girls. He's too busy running.
No, he's too busy running away from them.
That's awesome.
You know,
but,
well, now
that,
you're
that moment.
Now you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say in terms of you know, the current your current career, you are kind of an observer of the NFL, an observer of the personality of the players, and you seem to be the perfect person, you know, stepping into that role to explain to our viewers how football, one of the most popular sports in the world, especially the NFL football. How has it changed, Russ? If at all?
Gosh, just I really believe the game has changed through rules and the, you know, the exposure and the social media and the money the players make now. But I really believe, you know, the type of characters that play the game are all basically the same.
Wow.
You know, and every position has a certain trait or character type that usually is the most meaningful personality-wise for that player to play that position. And it's just kind of weird how it all worked out. And I've always loved the personalities of the people that play football at a high level.
Uh-huh.
And I was always trying to figure out why are they the way they are? And, you know, when you're doing character development, writing a novel or a screenplay, like, what makes this guy tick? Well, why is he the way he is? And I feel like I have a feel for that. And I think most of us, all of us who watch football, wow, that guy's talented, that guy's this, that guy's that. But I really want to get to know the player and find out, why is he the way he is? Why is he good at this?
That's why you're so good at what you do.
Yes, I just love that. You know, what's his backstory? What is his story, you know? And that's the hard part in scouting, because guys now aren't as open, because they know if you get to know them, maybe you can find out something that, you know, they don't want you to know or whatever. And like I said, there's so much money being made in the game. It's just ridiculous now. I mean, you know, if I would have played at this time, 10 years in the NFL, you know, I would be looking for, you know, I could write all the time.
So we're almost out of time. Can you give us a one word or one sentence takeaway for somebody who wants to do some of the extraordinary things that you've done in your life?
Well, if you have a dream, you know, and it's kind of hard in today's world, as we all know, you know, you reach a certain age, you have to have a day job. But if you have a dream, live your dream, have a day job, take care of yourself. If you have people to take care of, you definitely have to, you know, have a day job and live your dream at night.
There you go, Russ.
There you go.
Yep.
Well,
thank you, Russ.
I appreciate it.
So great talking to you. We love you guys.
Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye.